Good morning. We're in the Vera Gaira, Dollar Yud Zion. Somebody's going to have to ring bagels next week when we finish this volume. Okay, here, this is one of those nice sort of coincidences. It happens to be that what we're going to learn about today is relevant to some degree to this week's Parsha. But more than it's relevant to this week's Parsha, it's relevant to life. The Medrash which he's going on is the following. I'm not even sure who this is. I don't know who Rivas is. This is from the Medrash Rabbah. Parsha Samaches, paragraph Dalet. It starts with Reish Yud Beis Samach. I don't know who Reish Yud Beis Samach is, but whoever that is, one of the Tanoim. Pasach. He opened and interpreted as follows. Elokim Meishiv Yechidim Baisa. God brings the Yechidim, brings the separate individual ones to the house. Matrona Shala es Rabbi Yeshua ben Chalafta. There was a matrona, a significant woman, Roman woman, who asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chalafta. She said to him, how long did it take Hashem to create the world? How many days? 6 days. Kirichsiv. Kisheshes yamim asa Hashem as Hashemayim es haaretz. 6 days Hashem made the heavens and the earth. So what's he doing now? What's he been doing since then? Like collecting unemployment? On my way, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshev U'mezavik Zivugim. Hashem is sitting and making Shiduchim. Bita Shoplaini Lepleini. The daughter and so-and-so to so-and-so. Ishta Shoplaini Lepleini. The wife of so-and-so. Presumably the widowed wife of so-and-so to so-and-so. M'mayne Shoplaini Lepleini. The money of so-and-so to so-and-so. On my way, V'dahi U'musei. He says, that the Rabbi Shalom has to do. Avani Yechel Olasek came. I can do the same thing. Famous last words. Kama Avadim V'kama Shvachas Yeshli. I have a lot of servants. I have a lot of maids. V'shokale Ani Yechel Olazavkan. I can easily put them together. Amar Lo, he said to him, Kale Yibay Necher. Koshi Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu K'kriyas Yamsu. It might be easy to you, but to Hashem it's not easy. It's as difficult as the splitting of the sea. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chalafta. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chalafta went home. Ma asasa, what did she do? She wanted to try it out. Notwa elef avodim velef shvacha. She took 1,000 of her male servants, 1,000 of her maid servants. Ve'amida isan shurei shureis. And she stood them up in rows. And she said, okay. Plan isav ploinis. Uploinis tisav uploini. Viziv uleisim blaylachas. Number one, should marry number one. Number two, should marry number two. Okay? I know some Shulchanim who work the same way.
And the Zivka, that happens right now, that Reverend Song Yong Moon put people together like that.
Yeah.
Made a ceremony.
Okay. So I didn't know he did the Shiduchim also.
What we do.
The Zivka is on the Laila Achas. Okay, guys. I'm the only one making cynical comments here, please. The Zivka is on the Laila Achas, and she matched them together on one night. L'machoras and L'gaba. So the next day they came. Dein Maichei Petzia. This one's brain was broken. Dein Einei Shmita. This one's eye was dangling out. Dein Raglei Tvir. This one had a broken leg. Amalai, she said to them, Malachain. So she said to them, what's going on? What happened? Dein Amalai, Lesano Boy Ledein. Dein Amalai, Lesano Boy Leda. This one says, I am not interested in this guy. She's not interested. He's not interested in this girl. Right? In other words, it worked as you would have expected. Miyad Sholcha Ve'evias Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chalafta. So she sent back to bring back Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chalafta. She said, Amar Lei Les Eloka Kelokachain. There's no God like your God. If he can pull this off, right? If he can make this Shiduchim successfully, there's no God like yours. Emes Hi Tairaschen. Your Torah is true. Noa Mushubachas. Beautiful. Praiseworthy. Yafa Amar to what you said was good. Amar Lo Loikach Amarti Loch. Im Kali Beinecha Koshi Rithnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kekriyas Yamsuf. He says, indeed, if it's easy in your eyes, but like I told you, it's not so simple. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, it's as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. And he goes on with a line which he's not going to speak about so much, like this. He says, Elokim Meishiv Yechidim Baisa Meitzi Asirim B'Kaishores. Again, back to the verse which started this. Hashem brings the individuals to the house. releases the Isirim, the bound ones, Bakay Shoreis. So what does it mean, Bakay Shoreis, with a Chaf? Mao Bakay Shoreis? Unusual word. Bechi v'shirais. It's a combination of tears and song. Mandaboy emir shira, umandaloy boy bechi. The one who wants to will say shira, and the one who likes the marriage will say song. The one who doesn't want it so much will say, will cry. In other words, it's, you know, it can sometimes be difficult. That's the expression here of the Medrash, shaloy b'tevason. Right? Sometimes, you know, it's not easy. Amar Abriyechi b'loshen hazeh yeshiva yishu mechalavto HaKadosh Baruch Hu yeshiv ayse sulamis mashpil hazeh amir hazeh amir hazeh amir hazeh, etc. and so on and so forth. It says yeshu ayvach etzel zivugim yeshu zivugay bo'atz loy. Sometimes the man goes to the girl, sometimes the girl goes to the man. Yitzchak bo zivugay atz loy shenemar v'yetzi Yitzchak l'suach v'asoda v'yitzchak Rivka came to Yitzchak Yaakov alach etzel zivugay. Yaakov went to his wife's, right? He went to Beersheva, right? He came from Beersheba. He went to Haran. Okay, so sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's like that. Depends what city you live in. Okay, so the obvious interesting thing. Okay, so it's you know, an acute story. You know how what a hard time she had making shiduchim. Right, if I tried to make shiduchim that way, I'd also have a lot of broken brains and eyes popping out. Right, well, number one to number one. Right, but so you know, it seems as oftentimes we find in Midrashim, right, that the expression is perhaps a little bit, you know, ear catching, you know, in terms of the extreme opposites which it presents. But the issue itself, what he's describing here, of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since the end of the Sheishis Mei Bereishis, what is he doing? Asked this lady, what is he doing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the very difficult work of being Mezaveg Zivugim, of making Shiduch. Right, the shidduch crisis that started after the Sheishis Yimei Bereishis, that it took HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do himself. What does that mean? What do Chazal mean by that expression, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and does this since the Sheishis Yimei Bereishis?
If you're going to talk about that it's as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf, that for Hashem was Kriyas Yamsuf a difficulty?
Right. So this is another part of the analysis. What does it mean that it is as difficult for him as Kriyas Yamsuf? What is the expression there, as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf? What was the difficulty of Kriyas Yamsuf? What was the difficulty that arose there? Says V'kashe Ta'ayim B'dvarim Elu Timsa Shadvarim Elu Nechayim V'Muchrachim Gamkein. So when you look at this closely, you'll see that these things are not only correct, but necessarily so. V'zeh Ki Lo Haya Kavana Rak Al Dover Achodesh Asher Upayol Misheishes Yimei Bereishes. He says like this. The thing is like this. You have to understand. What we're talking about here is new. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating new things. Since the Sheishis Yimei Bereishis, Hashem has plenty to do. Hashem has plenty to do. We read today in the davening, we said today in the davening, like we say every morning in the davening, Hashem renews Maaseh Bereishis through His goodness every single day. As it says, He makes the Eirim Gedolim, the big luminaries, the big lights. His kindness is eternal. It doesn't say that He made them, it says that He makes them. That He makes them in the present tense, constantly. However, with Mechadesh B'tuvah B'chol Yayim, with Hashem renewing with His goodness every day, we also have a principle which is Ein Kol Chodosh Tachas Hashemesh, as Shlomo HaMelech said in Koheles. There is nothing new under the sun. What Hashem did in the Sheishis Yimei Bereishis was He created a nature. He created a system that would be the functioning, standard, default system throughout all the time of Bria, throughout all the time that the world would continue to exist. And we have this notion then of Olam Kiminhagoy Nayeg, the world going according to the patterns which were established there in the Sheishis Yimei Bereishis. So the question is, that the Matronisa is asking, is that in the Sheishis Yimei Bereishis, Hashem was mamish revolutionizing. Every moment He's creating anew. He's doing something which isn't just a natural continuation of what was there before. It was an altering intervention, something which changed, which made for something new that wasn't there before. So since Yesh Me'ayin, in a certain sense, in that in that, in a strictly speaking, we say only the first instant of Bria is Yesh Me'ayin, right? And then the rest was refinement. Yesh Me'ayin means ex nihilo, something from nothing. So he created the matter that was Yesh Me'ayin, then he formed it, right? But even the formation was a revolutionary formation. It wasn't just, you know, something that was a refinement of that which was there before. So therefore, the chidush, the creation anew that Hashem did, it seemed to stop since Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. So the question being posed by this matronisa, by this woman, was, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koach hachidush? What is Hashem doing innovatively, creatively, since the time of Sheshes Yimei Bereishis? What is indeed beginning now, at this point in time? To which the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezaveg zivugim, that Hashem is making shiduchim. And that just like, and it's interesting how he starts with this, just like Hashem made the first shirach of bringing Chava to Adam, so Hashem makes, Hashem makes as well the subsequent shiduchim of every person. And he says, it's not, it's a new action. He says, and this is really the fundamental principle through which this entire explanation is going to arise, is that the challenge in being mezaveg zivugim is that you're taking two people and you're putting them together, and there's no natural really effect of that. That's something which is going to be indeed beyond the nature of things to put them together in this way. Two people from two different places, and they're going to be put together in this way, that is the radical chiddush. And in order to explain this, to start to explain this, I'm actually going to jump ahead to the very last paragraph of this keta, of this section of the Beragayla. The last paragraph, he comes to a problem that it really exists to some degree from, excuse me. Thank you. A problem which is to some degree, right, one might challenge and say, is this really, really a problem? But a problem that he considers to be a problem as a result of his formulation of the difference between the 6 days of creation and post 6 days of creation. And, you know, basically, essentially, what he says is that during, again, the 6 days of creation, he created all the components of nature, and then subsequently, there's this idea of bringing together the separate components in a way which is me'ala teva, which is beyond the nature that he created itself. That was the avoda, that's the task following the Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, which is expressed here in this notion of mezaveg zivugim, of making the matches amongst people, and also the other things which he speaks of, which the Medrash alluded to, which the Maral doesn't dwell upon, of uniting different things that wouldn't necessarily come together. His problem is that if we're going to set things up this way, then what do you make of the zivug, the match between Adam and Chava? Because that did occur during the 6 days of creation. And if it's specifically a post-creation function to go bring together the separate components that existed before, so what do you do with the actual original zivug, the actual original match? To which the Maral says a very, very important, very, very important insight, which we'll probably look a little bit at the Chumash, and we'll see the same insight that the Pasuk very ironically gives to us. And he says like this. He says, you have to understand that's why the Zivug, the match of Adam and Chava, was natural. The Zivug of Adam and Chava, the match of Adam and Chava, is different in a narrow sense than any other Zivug, than any other match that has existed since then. Because it was basar mi basari, etzem mi atzama. It was bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Chava was broken off from Adam HaRishon. And so the Pasuk says that when he found her, he says, This is Isha because she is taken from Ish. This is woman because she's taken from man. Right? She's taken from man. So therefore, it was Jamaican. So the idea is that over there, by the match of Adam and Chava, it was as natural as it could possibly be. In fact, that wasn't a great radical chiddush. Hashem took two separate beings and He brought them together. The opposite. The whole nature of the Zivug of Adam and Chava was that He took one being, split it in two, and then brought it back together. It was reunion. And therefore, says Maral, that was the one shidduch which was natural. And even though that shidduch is supposed to serve as a paradigm for every match which comes subsequently, however, it is a paradigm, but not a full paradigm. It's a paradigm of what it can be, but the conditions are far more averse. In other words, by Adam and Chava, we have this idea that it's like two halves of one whole coming back together again. And it's natural that that's the case by Adam and Chava. And that becomes the model of every male-female relationship. Except by every male-female relationship, it's not natural. By every male and female relationship, in fact, it's the opposite of natural. Because not only do we not have a woman constructed from our rib after we go under general, and have the surgery, but we can't even marry those that which, in any stretch of the imagination, would be considered our own flesh and our own bone. Right? When Lavan said to Yaakov, I shouldn't say by any stretch of the imagination, but the closer the worse. When Lavan saw Yaakov Avinu, he said, "Ach atzmiu b'soriyata, you are my flesh and my bone." What does that mean? He wanted to marry him? No. He's saying, you're my relative, right? We come from the same flesh. And yes, Yaakov Avinu ended up marrying his daughters, right? However, you understand that the closer it is, the closer the flesh and bone, the less permitted it is, the more it's considered in the realm of Erva. Al-Kain, after Adam and Chava get together, says the Pasuk, Al-Kain, henceforth, Yazov Isha Savi Vetzimai V'davak B'Ishtai. A man will leave his father and mother and attach himself to his wife and become Lebosar Echad, and become like one flesh. Excuse me for a second while I get Chumash. So it's very ironic, right? The Pasuk is presenting, it would seem, the opposite. The very, very opposite of what we had. Right? The Adam, he stayed very close to home. He stayed close to himself. His wife was his own flesh. He tried everything else. But this was the one. So what's the idea? That he should leave his father and mother. Right. So we start with the Ramban. Says the Ramban, "Ki abayim avachaya einam dvekus v'nikvaseh." First of all, the Ramban establishes here what is a very, very important part of the principle of the paradigm of the Adam and Chava relationship, and he says like this: the heim avachaya, animals, they. Let me go back. I think we may have gone over this Ramban a little bit once before here in this year. I don't remember clearly. You'll tell me, right? But the Ramban is going on Rashi's pshat, and Rashi says, "V'hayu l'basar echad, they become like one flesh when they have a child. That's a combination of the material of the father and the mother." So the Ramban says, "What are you talking about? Animals can do the same thing, right? So what's the big chiddush here? They became like one flesh. The whole chiddush over here by Adam and Chava is that whereas the male and female animals were created separately, Adam and Chava was created from Adam, and then Adam was broken off and created Chava. That's what's unique. So he focuses more on the fact that the two individuals become like one flesh. And he says, right, the male-female relationship is not one of dveikus. It's not v'davak v'ishtay. It's not a real, meaningful attachment. The male and female, they bump into each other, they meet, and they have relations, and then they go on. They go on with life. There's no bond. There's no dibuk. There's no real, real bond. That's the word that would exist between them. Because the nature of what Hashem created by the male-female relationship is that it shouldn't be this way. It should be of a constant attachment. Right? That they should be together, like it was with Adam. Adam the paradigm, who of course wanted this because it was his own flesh and his own bone. And we will feel that the same way. Right? Pseudo bone and flesh in this way. So therefore, therefore it was put the nature in the offspring of Adam and Chava that they should have the same power of being able to feel as one with Nishoseim. Leaving their father and mother, and seeing their wives, that they are one flesh with them, as if they are the closer relative. As the Ramban goes on and says, he brings many psukim where it speaks about it with relatives, and in Vinei Yazav, She'er, Ovi V'imayu Krevatsam, V'yirashishtei Krevalaymehem. So that's the thing. Al-Kain, and that's what Rishayim Teich, Al-Kain means henceforth. Right? Even though it's to a degree paradoxical, it's the opposite. Right? Because they're leaving what will be their natural flesh and bone. But this is the ness. This is the chidush of Mezavik Zivugim, of Hashem doing this, that Hashem says, you will be able to somehow forge a relationship that's not natural. It's not natural. Natural would be a relationship with those who are your flesh and your bone. Natural would be that when you have a relationship with someone who's not your flesh and your bone, you go, you have, like the animals, they relate and then they separate. Here today, gone tomorrow. What's supernatural is to be able to forge a relationship that is as if it is your flesh and your bone, that you're going to feel it as your flesh and your bone, beyond your blood relatives. That is the chiddush. And it's supposed to be like the natural state was by Adam HaRishon. So Adam HaRishon serves as the paradigm for cases which have conditions, for the eternity of cases which have conditions which are far different than theirs. So the Maral, again briefly going to the end paragraph, says, you see, in the Sheshis Yimei Bereshis, the Zivug, the match which Hashem made, was a natural match. It was just bringing the two parts which were naturally two parts back together. That was the Zivug of Adam and Chava. That was the natural. What's Hashem doing since then? What Hashem is doing since then is the beyond the nature which is created, which is taking diverse, separate elements, beings that He created in His world, and bringing them together as if, indeed, they were one. That's the chiddush. That's what Hashem is involved in since the beginning of time, since Maaseh Bereishis. Okay. So that's sort of, you know, the beginning, the part one of this. Here? It's good, no? Solid. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
Amen. Were all the families created separately, or were they all from one family? I'm trying to get a thing, because supposedly when people are born, it isn't that the physical person is going to master the person. It isn't that the neshama is master of someone else's neshama.
Okay.
Were they together once? And then
good. Excellent. Right. The one of the things that we like to point out when we're learning these psukim is that a person, like nowadays, and for a long time before nowadays, if a person would be speaking about their wife that they find, that they love so dearly and deeply, what would they refer to them as? Their soulmate. Adam referred to Chava as his bone mate. Right? His flesh mate. Right? Right? So it's a whole different thing, right? My bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He doesn't say soul of my soul. He doesn't say that. And that's part of this very, very interesting dichotomy, this very interesting separation. Let's go for a moment to what the Maral gives sort of as a secondary reason to his bringing together the idea that that this is the renewal, this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do to go beyond nature. Og Yesh L'Cholodas, he writes, Ki Ein Zivug HaAdam Tivi, the matching of people is not natural. Raku Min Hashem Yisbarach HaChibur V'HaZivug, it's from Hashem. It requires Hashem. Okay, besides for the fact that it's not part of the natural routine, right, which is in a certain sense a negative characterization of it, right, they start off separately. He's saying here the positive, that it is going to be Hashem that brings them together. Lokach be'ish ve'isha yesh shem yizbarach, or shmo yizbarach. Hayud be'ish, and ahay be'isha. You know, famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Ish v'isha, man and woman, if they merit, so the presence of Hashem is between them. How's that? Because if you look at the words Ish and Isha, so they have common letters, Aleph and Shin. Except that the man has a Yud in the letter, in the word, and the woman has a He. Take the Yud and the He and you put it together, and what do you have? Ka, which is the beginning of the name of Hashem, and a partial name of Hashem. Ish v'isha, when the man and woman married and they truly come together, then the presence of Hashem is between them. And there are many levels of understanding and appreciating what Chazal are saying here, right? The two together, they'll be able to bring down Hashras, Hashchina, they'll be able to bring down the presence of Hashem. But what the Maral is saying is he's taking this Mamar Chazal, this statement, and he's putting it together with this Medrash which we're studying this morning, which is that it takes Hashem to be Mezavik Zivugim, it takes Hashem to bring together the Shiduchim, and it's a beautiful, beautiful idea. The idea is that it's only with Hashem that these two could come together. And remember what the flip side of the Gemara is, that if they don't merit, what happens? Fire. Eish Ochlosan. Fire consumes them, because Aleph and Shin, which are their common letters, is Eish, is fire. Right? Fire, fire. Right? There's a physical fire, and there's a spiritual fire. Right? It's no coincidence that when the presence of Hashem is between them, it's also Eish. But you know, Hashem's presence is a fire, and as we read in Parsha Shmois, and we'll read again in Parsha Yisrei, it's a fire that doesn't necessarily at all consume. Right? Dasnein en ukol, the thorn bush wasn't consumed by that fire. When you have the presence of Hashem properly, and it's not butting heads with those who are too entrenched in the physical, it doesn't consume. It is able to somehow majestically coexist. So that's all of this together. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavek Zivugim. And part of the idea in this is very, very clear. And this goes to an idea which I'm sure some of you have heard from me. I don't remember if we discussed it in the Shir. We probably have. It's something which is, to me, bread and butter. You know, very, very, very basic. And this is going to be a part, again, to what he is saying. Which is that in the physical world, beings are necessarily separate from each other. The physical world has gevulim, has boundaries. The things are separate from each other. This talus bag, this physical talus bag, is not that chumash. It's a separate item. In fact, this piece of this talus bag is not that piece of the talus bag. Like they may be somehow woven together here, but I could just take a scissors, cut them, and they're back and they're going to be separated again. But in the world of the ruach, in the world of the spirit, there is no separation. There is no division. There are no boundaries. Like this is, so to speak, we speak of ruach, our physical imagination of ruach is wind, is air. Like this piece of air is not separate from that piece of air. Right? We don't see it that way. It's not the way we experience it. Right? You take out your microscope, you might be able to see different, you know, subatomic particles and things like that are happening like that. But conceptually, in the metaphor, in the muscle, in the ein l'dayin al mashein of rose, and what we can observe with our eyes, right, there's no separation here. There's separation in the physical. The more metaphysical it gets, right? Solid, liquid, gas, right? The more metaphysical it gets, the more unified it is. And so we understand that a human being, when a person is physical and defines themselves by their physicality, it's not shayach. It's not possible to have unity because physical things are separate from each other by definition and by nature. However, when a person defines themselves more by the spirit, so then those divisions don't exist. That's the beautiful explanation of the Baal HaTanya, of the Haftal Reacha Kamaicha, right, is the mainstay of the Torah. You should love your fellow man like yourself. Right? Hillel told the convert who wanted to learn the Torah while standing on one foot, Everything else is commentary. Right? Go and learn. Right? So, the obvious question. You know, we have two tablets. One of them is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and one of them is Bein Adam L'Makom. One of them are interpersonal laws, one of them are religious laws between man and God. After L'Reacha Kamocha might be the model from which you can learn everything about the interpersonal laws, but what does it have to do with Hashem? How does that tell you how to treat Hashem? How does it tell you how to serve Hashem religiously? So the Balatani's explanation is because to love your fellow man like yourself means that you've transcended your physicality, because physicality separates. If you love him like yourself, that means that you have made yourself at home completely and fully in the world of the spirit, in the spiritual. And in the world of the spirit, in the spiritual, unity is possible. And all of Torah is about that. All of the Torah, whether the Bein Adam L'Makom or the Bein Adam L'Chaveira, is about a person transcending the physical to become like one. This is really the fundamental problem which Maral is dealing with here, which Chazal are dealing with here. And they're saying, look, you're taking here these two individuals of different flesh, of different blood, right, separate from each other, and you're trying to fuse them together as one. You know what that requires? That requires a divine intervention. Whether it requires that picture being drawn of Hashem sitting there in the heavens with a big black book, right? And he's looking, say, okay, I have this lady's name over here, I have this boy's name over here, let's see, maybe I can put them together, right? Gets on the phone, right? He has a one of those plans that you don't have to pay for long distance, like any good shadchan, right? And he's just, you know, he goes away and churns out. Whether you want to picture it that way, or whether you want to picture it more like the way Chazal are describing it here, when they speak about Ish v'Isha Zachu Shechina Shriya Beinayim, that it takes a majestic injection of the presence of Hashem, of the Spirit, in order to be able to allow two separate physical human beings to mamish come together as one. If they do, and they transcend their physical needs, and their physical sort of selfish focus, self-centered focus, it means because there's Shechina Shriya Beinayim. There's something majestic of the presence of Hashem that's making that possible for it to be able to happen. And that is no Olam Kiminhagei Nayeg. That's not the world going according to its nature, according to its custom. There you're dealing with some very, very, very serious and very, very positive intervention. Okay. Let's move on for a moment to speak about then, so what's the comparison though? So this is as difficult for Hashem, says the Gemara, as Kriyas Yamsuf, as the splitting of the sea. Now, the Maral's explanation here is quite interesting. I will say to you that I feel I need to understand more than what the Maral is going to be saying over here, in the simple, explicit sense. And to some degree, however, we can draw on that from other writings of the Maral, to which, again, I expressed my indebtedness to Rabbi Hartman, the great footnoter of the Be'er HaGola, who helps greatly. The Maral says as follows. He says, you know why this is as difficult, so to speak, as Kriyas Yamsuf? Because Kriyas Yamsuf was taking this physical body, which was there in the world, that was naturally one, right? The water sticks together and flows together, and it was dividing it into two. And a zivug is taking two things which are separate, and it's fusing them together into one. And this is really, it's touching the same nerve. It's touching the same issue. There's a nature in the world, and now you are going to a nature in the world with its own alignments, with its own structure and its own form, and it, you know, you're going in the opposite direction. And that requires, that's the kasha. Kasha, it's hard. What does that mean? Hashem came home that day after Kriyas Yamsuf and says, whew, what a day. You know, give me my newspaper. You know, it's not that it's kasha, of course, in the normal human sense. But the koshi, the difficulty of it is, because when Hashem created the Sheish Yesimei Bereishis, so Hashem indeed made the nature that's supposed to be the normal standby. And here what Hashem was doing was, he was disturbing that nature. He was upending that nature. And that's what the extent of it. Over there, it was upending by separating that which in nature was one. And over here, it is in unifying but what it, that which in nature was separate. Those are the words which the Maharal says here. But I want to share with you another teaching of the Maharal, again, which is very, very aptly noted here by Rabbi Hartman. And that is as follows. Mamesh, mamesh. Kaftav Aferach. Beautiful, 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 beautiful piece. I'm going to say it over in our own way. This little piece of the Maharal I definitely shared with you quite recently. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, it's a Yisayid Gadol. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that kol makabel olav ol Torah mavir mimenu ol malchus ol derech eretz. A person who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, he will be relieved of the yoke of other kingdoms and the yoke of derech eretz, the yoke of nature. What does that mean? So we explain, Maharal explains, that there are three controlling factors that a person has to deal with in the world. Hashem, other people, right? We deal with other people, we deal with our bosses, we deal with our governments, we deal with the person who's, you know, next to us in traffic. And then there's Ol Derech Eretz. And the third thing that we worry about Hashem, we worry about other people, and we worry about nature. What does that mean? Like, nobody's telling me that I have to eat, but my stomach is telling me that I have to eat. Nature is telling me that I have to eat. Nobody's telling me that I have to keep a healthful lifestyle, you know, you must, or else. But I know that I have to, because otherwise, the nature of things is going to catch up with the person if the person doesn't. O Malchus, the yoke of kingdom, is the yoke of other people. O Derech Eretz is the yoke of nature. Says the Mishnah, a person who truly, fully, and completely accepts upon himself El Torah, meaning that he views Hashem as the dominant factor of his life, of his being, so then he won't have to worry about people, and he won't have to worry about nature. He will transcend all of that. Something which, of course, we know that the Jewish people experienced when they accepted the Torah at Har Sinai, Mekabel Olav El Torah. What did Chazal say? Ani Amayti Elohim Atem, etc. It would be Ben Chayir. What would we have been freed from? Shibud Malchios. We would have been freed from subordination to other kingdoms. We wouldn't have to worry about them. And we would have been freed from the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death. We wouldn't have been subject to mortality and the normal vicissitudes of nature. We would have been above and beyond all of that if we would have just accepted Hashem. Says the Maharal, Kafter Vaferach, says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Asora Nisim Nasu Laviseinu B'Mitzrayim V'Asora Alayam. There were 10 miracles which happened to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, the Makos, and 10 miracles which happened to Jewish people at the Yam Suf. What's the 10 and 10? What's the idea of the 10 and 10? So listen to this, okay? You have a dreamy vort for the Shabbos table, right? A understanding of Foy to B'Shalach. Says the Maharal, what happened in Mitzrayim was that Hashem was breaking the shlita, the control of the Egyptians over the Jewish people. He was punching the Egyptians, pushing them back. Right? The Jewish people were sitting there and they were watching. Miracles which were being brought to inflict pain and suffering and judgment on the Egyptians as the Jewish people stood there and watched. That was the stage which was direct hit, relieving them of Ol Malchus, of Shibud Malchus, about worrying about the government. Now, they didn't kill them, right? So there's going to be a part of it that's still left, right? A few days later, they hit themselves on the heads and they say, I can't believe we let them go, and they come running after the Jewish people. And what drives the Jewish people towards the Yam Suf is the fear of these other people. But when they turn and they're standing there at the Yam Suf, and they look this way, and what do they see? They see Ol Malchus, they see the Egyptians. And they look this way, and what do they see?
Nature.
They see Ol Derech Eretz, they see nature, they see a storming sea that a human being is not able to walk into. And they turn towards the sea. And when Hashem split the sea for them, yeah, when he brought it back together, so that took care of the Ol Derech Eretz, Ol Malchus. But when he split the sea for them, what he did was, he relieved them not of the yoke of the Egyptians, but he relieved them of the yoke of nature. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that Hashem saying, okay, you're mine now, baby. You're not going to have to worry about the Egyptians, and you're not even going to have to worry about nature. You don't have to worry about anything, because all you have to do is worry about your relationship with me. It's beautiful, beautiful. It's lump in your throat, beautiful. So, excuse me for one second, so you understand that that's koshel zavgan, kriyas yamsuf. Because in zivugim there's a little bit of an issue of ol malchus. You know, there's an issue of the other person. You know, you have to deal with two competing thoughts, two competing natures, two competing people, and everybody's got to be very, very careful to handle the other with real derech eretz, with real respect for another person. But at the core, what is it? At the core, it's the relief of all derech eretz. It's to take a person out of nature. Take a person out of nature. Because nature says we're separate. And the magic of marriage is not satisfied completely by being very, very skillful at interacting with another person. Yes, that's a critical skill, because you know we're human beings and we are fleshy human beings. And therefore, when we learn the old Malchus tricks, when we learn how to interact well with another person, to be kind, to be diplomatic, to be careful, so that's a very, very important skill. But it's not romantic, right? It's as romantic as the Y plantation peace talks, right? It means that, you know, you manage to get along for a few days and figure out some way to work. What's the ultimate of Zivuk is, well, it's not that you're tiptoeing around the other person, but that you sound mamish like you feel a fusion. That's the Iker. And that is not an Ol Malchus thing. That's an Ol Derech Eretz thing. That's the yoke of nature. That's where the person has succeeded in transcending nature. That's the oimek of this koshel zafgan, perhaps kikriyas yamsuf. I'm sorry, you wanted to say something there.
So, at the point of the yamsuf, of the kriyas yamsuf, it was before we were at Har Sinai accepting the Torah.
Yeah.
So was Hashem just fronting us the relief from all malchus and all derech eretz, because he knew we were going to accept the Torah?
Was he fronting it to us? On some level, he was. Yes. And it's even more than that, in the sense that part and parcel of Kriyas Yamsuf, different than any other miracle, was that in Kriyas Yamsuf, it wasn't just that Hashem sent a miracle to relieve the Jewish people of a problem. Hashem revealed himself to the Jewish people. Chazal tell us, Zeh Keli Vanveyu, that what we saw at the Yamsuf was beyond what any prophet saw. In other words, we saw at Yamsuf like we saw at Har Sinai. And it was a completely, completely different experience. We have a Wednesday night shiur on Tefillah from the Parsha, and we're going to be talking about this, Mirtz Hashem, with some elaboration, Mirtz Hashem, this Wednesday for more Harchava. But yes, this was to some degree a forerunner, an antecedent of what was to happen at Har Sinai, of the panim b'fanim, of the face-to-face encounter that was to occur at Har Sinai.
So it'd be sort of be an exception to what the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos was saying, because the Mishnah, it sounds to me, I don't know what that's worth, but is that if one accepts, first they accept Old Torah, and then they're relieved of the other things. That's
in a certain sense, but it's, you see that Kriyas Yamsuf, let's explain it this way before the battery runs out. High risk. Zochay tu lachesed nuraych, avas kelu loisayach, lech techacharei v'amidbar be'eretz loizeruah. Hashem remembers that the ultimate step of the Jewish people to unite with him was throwing caution to the winds and trusting Hashem. When did we do that?
When we left
Mitzrayim, maybe. But on the other hand, we were going for a few days, right? So it does say when we went out into a land which was barren. When we left Mitzrayim, we weren't quite yet at the point of no return. There are a number of times when we did it. One was when we went out to the Midbar to the point of no return. When we jumped into the Yam Suf, right? You know, one of the fundamental ideas here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, stop crying to me, tell the Jewish people to just start going. In other words, you know, if Hashem wanted to be nice and, you know, psychologically healthy, so he would have sat down with us, he would have said here, okay, I'm going to part the seas, look, right? He would have poked his finger in the wall, see, it's not falling, you can go in, don't worry about a thing, but he didn't do that. He said, go into the sea. And when you go into the sea will split, right? The famous Nachshon Ben Aminadav, right? Who just walked in and went up and walked in, right? And then, you know, the Yam Suf split, right? You have to do an act of faith, right? What did they do at Har Sinai? They said Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma was the same thing. Like, yeah, I wasn't going into the desert and having nothing to eat. But I want you to do the following. Do you have a check here? A check from your checking account. Do me a favor, just sign one and give it to me. Don't write anything else. Right? For, you know,
go home and stop it.
Right? You can't go home and stop it. And that's what Klal Yisrael did with Nasa V'Nishma. What does that mean? Right? So they didn't give up their money. Right? They give up everything to Hashem. Blank check authority. Right? That is what it means to be a Mekabel Ol Torah. And at Kiryas Yam Suf, they started to do that. When they jumped into the sea, they started to do that. That was the really, in a great sense, the beginning of Lech Teichach HaRei B'Midbar. Certainly a significant chapter in that throwing themselves with perfect faith and trust in Hashem Yisbarach. And the Maral has one more point here that he develops that I want to try to share with you, you know, to some degree. And he says as follows. He says that Ramzu was a davar amakmoid. They've hinted here a very deep matter. That Yehu Yisbarach chaytzias anivrem kulam lepel ametzias b'sheshes yimei bereshes ba'atzmei v'chvayde loyai ayidei shliach. During the 6 days of creation, Hashem himself, without any emissary and any agent, brought into existence all of the creatures of the world. No nature, no shliach, no agent. What was the agent which Hashem established, so to speak? The so to speak agent which Hashem established afterwards? Is teva. Is nature. Nature is Hashem's shliach. What does that mean? Right? When Hashem created nature, right, you put the seeds in the ground and you water them and they produce grain and then you go and grind them up and you mix them with water and it rises and you bake it in an oven, right? So Hashem's feeding you. Yeah, Hashem's feeding you. But Hashem's feeding you through the structure of nature which He created, which is basically nature, right? Oysa malocha v'ruchas. Right? All the winds, all the things that happen in the world, they're all malachov, they're all the angels, they're all the messengers of Hashem Yisbarach. V'kasher boras ha'olam hu Yisbarach me'achides hanimtzoim kulam. When Hashem created the world, right, He unifies all of His creatures. Just like He brought them into existence, He says, in the 6 days of Teva. So His task after the 6 days of Teva, where He created all of these separate elements in the world, is to bring them together. And I want to try to explain this, and explain the structure which the Maral himself establishes here, which is again, as usual, a magnificent structure. And I'm going to draw on a different source, which is to some degree found as well in the Maral and Pirkei Avos. The first Mishnah in the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos says, the world was created with 10 statements. Right? We know the 6 days of creation comprised of 6 statements, 6 stages. Let there be light, let there be the rakia, let there be this, let there be that. Says the Mishnah, I don't understand. Couldn't Hashem just have created the world with one statement? Let there be a world. You know, lock, stock, and barrel, soup to nuts, everything, the whole thing. Why did He need 10? Says the Mishnah, to give great reward to the righteous who uphold the world that was created with 10 statements. And to punish the evil who destroy the world that was created with 10 statements. What kind of an answer is that? The way the question is formulated by the Maral and others is, let's say I walk into Staples and I want to buy myself a little Bic pen, right? And I happen to have one, right? Not in a box of 600, right? And I go and I get a pen, I go up to the cash register and they say, okay, here, I'd like to buy this pen. So I say, here, fine, no problem, 29 cents. I say, no, I insist, $5. I give them $5. Right? The cashier passes out. I walk out of the store. Right? Then I come here, and somebody says, I want to sign that check that you mentioned before. Right? So could I borrow a pen? I say, sure, you could borrow my pen. Here's the pen. And I lend them the pen. And I forget to take it back. They forget to give it back. Right? I don't ask them for it back. They forget to give it back. Then next Sunday they come. I say, excuse me, but you borrowed my pen last week. Could I have it back? And they say, my gosh, I can't believe it. I lost it. I don't have it. I have to pay you. Here's 29 cents. I say, what 29 cents? That's a $5 pen. What are you talking about? It's a 29 cent pen. I paid $5 for the pen. So what do you owe me? You owe me $5, you owe me 29 cents. You owe me 29 cents. That's what it's worth. So if the world could have been created with one statement, Hashem went and he created it with 10 statements. So that means that the tzaddikim are going to be rewarded for upholding a world, you know, some extra that for was created with 10 statements. Hashem just decided to create it in 10 statements. That means anything. So there are different ways to interpret this Mishnah. I want to tell you one way to interpret the Mishnah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a world, and he says, let there be a world. The world has no structure. The world is a parallel line of its millions of different items and elements. But when you create a world progressively, and you come to the climax of the creation, and the climax of the creation is the creation of man, that means that the world does have a structure and does have a hierarchy, and it's building towards something. And in the language of David HaMelech in Tehillim, Kol Shato Tachas Raglov, means you placed everything beneath his feet. If you create the whole world evenly at the same time, and man comes into the world, the same time animal comes into the world, the same time fish comes into the world, like, who are you? Right? Who's the boss over here? But when you create a whole world, and then, as the penultimate creation, you put man, so then you're saying, here you go. In the language, again, of our sages, Keshulchan Aruch Lefanav, the table is set for you, here's your world. And that's what Hashem said when he created man. I'm creating you, and you're going to rule, you're going to control everything that exists, everything that I created already. And what that does is that it unifies the world under man. So that's the meaning of the Mishnah. Because the whole world was created for man and placed into man's palm, so to speak, as we see from the fact that the world was created with 10 statements, that means that what man does makes it or breaks it. If not for that, so then you know what a person would view himself as. Like most of us do view ourselves as. We're just one person, one being within the whole world. And when we're out there trying to do the good things, we're just trying to build up nice things in our savings account. So that when we go, as individuals, hopefully to another world, we're going to do very, very, very well over there. Right? Well, maybe we're thinking about this world, maybe we're thinking about the next world, but we're thinking about our fate and our future. But that's what the Mishnah says, forget about it, boy. This is not what it's about. The whole world is up to you. When we talk about you doing good, it's not about you getting a nice bump in your savings. We're talking about the whole world, therefore, being upheld, because the world is for you. And that means that its justification is in your living up to your potential. And what you do upholds the whole world. It's not just about building up your savings. And Leolena, what the person would fail to do, undermines the whole world. And that's only true because of the structure with which Hashem created the world. The 10 statements climaxing in the creation of man, where man becomes the center point, the ikar, of the entire universe. Says the Maharal, the world that Hashem created was still, to some degree, fundamentally a bunch of separate things. The job of man is to unify that world, to bring it together, to be mekayem es ha'olam, to unify it, to give it a unity of purpose and a unity of being, and that's what the role that man plays. But now, says the Maharal, and who unifies man? Man brings everything together. And who brings man together? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Hashem's job. Post Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, he created all of nature and he delivered it all into the hands of man. Haaretz Nosam Livnei Adam. But now, man is not one man. Man is now several billion of them. Who brings them together? ultimately what's supposed to bring them together is Hashem Echad, right? The one and only Hashem. Nikam Chayisol Goyachad Baretz, the unity, the fact that the Jewish people come together as one, as Goyachad Baretz, is because we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, because of our recognition of Hashem. That's in the macro. The macro only comes from the micro, right? Enough micros. The micro of bringing people together is Hashem Zavek Zivugim. Is Hashem bringing together a man and woman. And that's the beginning of Hashem's work, post-Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. Nature he gave into the hands of man. The nature of man remains in the hands of Hashem. And to get past it, to raise it, to bring to a point where they can be unified truly together, that's what Hashem is involved in from then and everywhere. Okay. Shkoyach. And the good news is, the batteries.